Some things are just better together. Chips and salsa, sports and friends, Breezeline internet and mobile service. Get lightning fast gig internet and a free month when you order online. You'll also enjoy a free mobile line for an entire year. No hidden fees, just nationwide mobile coverage and reliable fiber-powered internet with a free modem and Wi-Fi. Everything you need at home or on the go for video chatting, gaming, working, and more. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Visit breezeline.com today.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, events in Gaza seem to be moving to even more horrific depths. Lebanon is being regularly shelled. The future of Syria is far from certain. And that's just a few examples from that region. Why is it that so few countries in the Middle East have achieved any sort of stability? Fawaz Gurgis from the London School of Economics is the author of The Great Betrayal, The Struggle for Freedom and Democracy in the Middle East. Fawaz, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Has there ever been a period in history when it was in the interests of the great colonial powers to have stable democracies in the Middle East?
Never.
Why is that?
Because the colonial powers or the imperial powers prioritize their own interest. It's the imperial imperative. Not only democracy has been sacrificed at the altar of colonialism and imperialism, but the right of self-determination, the idea of sovereignty. Why would the colonial powers allow colonized people to have self-determination, to have a free government, to be sovereign, not in relation to the Middle East and other colonized regions in the world?
Mm. You would have thought, though, that in, because there's so many parts of the Middle East that are so rich in oil, that it might be in their interest to have at least stable regions there with which to extract the oil.
Well, I mean, I think, obviously, you are articulating a rational argument or a rationalist argument. In fact, if you really want to control energy, oil and gas, if you really want to control the decision-making process of your partners and your clients, you cannot afford to have a free government. A free government basically makes decisions based on the interests of the people. A free government is a sovereign government, and this does not really fit the interests of external powers, particularly colonial powers and imperial powers. And that's why, whether you're talking about colonial Britain and France between 1918 and 1945, or whether you're talking about informal imperialism as developed by the United States from 1947 to the present, I think they have found themselves partnering with local autocrats and domestic authoritarians, because domestic authoritarians and local autocrats do exactly what the United States and its previous colonial powers wanted them to do. And that's exactly what's been happening in the Middle East. In my book, The Great Betrayal, one of my key arguments is that this powerful partnership between colonial powers and imperial powers and local autocrats explains why political change has been so difficult to achieve. It explains this local partnership between Western powers and local autocrats, explain why the region has reached this low point in history in the past 100 years.
Those partnerships, were they sometimes with Islamist groups?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in previous books that I have written, people think that the United States partnered with the so-called Islamic Mujahideen in Afghanistan during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan between 1979 and 1989. The United States of America and its European allies were in the same trenches of radical Islamists and main extremists from the 1950s up to 1989. And why? Because the United States, as the leader of the Western world between 1947, the beginning of the Cold War, and the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, basically it partnered with Islamists against the so-called radical nationalism and godless socialism and communism. In this particular sense, I mean, think about it. The United States of America toppled one of the most democratic regimes in Iran on August 23, 1953. And that's Mohammad Mossadegh, an elected prime minister, and put the Shah of Iran in power in Iran from 1953 to 1979. Between 1955 and 1989, the United States launched a major assault against post-colonized leaders who prioritized sovereignty, independent economic development, and basically non-alignment foreign policy. So the reality is, in fact, I know this is probably, it comes across to your listeners as really quite very radical. In fact, while the United States paid a lip service to human rights and the rule of law, American foreign policy partnered with dictators and autocrats in order to protect its own interests and have access to oil. Oil has been a key fundamental factor in the foreign policy interest of both colonial Britain and colonial France and then informal imperial America after the end of World War II.
And going back even a little bit further than that, is there a complication in the sense that that so many borders in the Middle East are straight lines, that they don't necessarily reflect the ethnic makeup of the people living there?
You asked me earlier about colonialism and imperialism. If you ask me about what's really the assessment of colonialism, colonial Britain and France invented the modern Middle East between 1916 and the end of the 1920s. And it's not just borders and frontiers, because most people think that somehow colonial Britain and France granted a part of historical Palestine to Israel, or divided Iraq and Syria, or Transjordan. It was not just about borders and frontiers. It's about the nation state. The nation state was shoved down the throats of people in the region. The political economy, the security forces, the notables, the ruling elites, colonial Britain and colonial France basically invented the rulers of the region between 1918 and 1945. And that's why in the region, and I'm not talking about my own assessment, people of the Middle East basically believe, and the reason why there's so much conspiracies in the region, because they believe that the hidden hand of the colonial powers and then of the United States have created major problems and challenges for their societies and their government. And many people in the region, based on surveys and studies, they never look at Israel as a power in its own right. They look at Israel as a colonial fortress in the heart of the Arab and the Islamic world. First, colonial Britain and then the United States basically have, supported Israel in their eyes, in the eyes of the Middle Eastern people, in order to have Israel really as a power to dominate and subjugate and keep the people of the region really under domination.
Is the approach of China and Russia different then?
Well, look, I mean, I don't expect, my expectations are very low when it comes to Russia and China. I don't think China and Russia are interested in democracy or human rights. Russia and China are interested in bilateral relationships. They are interested in basically sovereignty. They're not really, they don't preach to Middle Eastern people. So even though the rise of Russia and China could really balance Western hegemonic presence in the region, I don't really expect them to change the trajectory of politics in the region because they're anti-democratic. While the United States and Britain and France pay lip service to democracy, Russia and China basically say it openly. They're not really interested in democracy. They're not really interested in self-determination in the sense of allowing, you know, having people determine their own government. They're interested in state-to-state relations, bilateral relations.
Is it a bit depressing, all this? Because there doesn't seem to be any spark of hope.
Well, it's not about being depressing. The question is, what I really would like to understand in my book, The Great Betrayal, is that why has political change been so difficult to happen in the Middle East? Why the Middle East continues to be basically in the eye of the storm? Why the Middle East has not really achieved economic and political sovereignties? Why the people of the region have not really been granted self-determination? Why the Palestinians have been betrayed for the past 100 years, first by colonial Britain and then by imperial America? So my question really have to do with understanding as really blaming either the colonial powers or American foreign policy. And no, it's not depressing at all. In fact, we have to take into account local agency. That agency is alive and well. Think of what has happened. Think of what happened during the Iranian Revolution in 1979. It toppled one of the most brutal dictators in the Middle East, the Shah of Iran. Think of the Arab Spring waves, 2010, 2012, and 2018, 2019. After 13 years of a brutal civil war in Syria, 13 years, 500,000 casualties, 1 million injured, 6 million refugees, the Syrian people toppled dictator Bashar al-Assad in less than 2 weeks. In less than 2 weeks, Bashar al-Assad, a brutal dictator, was toppled by the Syrian people, that there is agency. And the reason why Bashar al-Assad was toppled, to come back to the local partnership, the powerful partnership between local autocrat and external powers. It was only when Russia was preoccupied in the Ukraine and when Iran was really preoccupied in Lebanon and in Palestine that the Syrian people were able to really corner Bashar al-Assad and get rid of him. So I really believe at the end of the day that the future of the Middle East will ultimately be determined not by the dictators and their Western powers enablers, but by a growing population of young Arab and Muslim men and women who demand to be taken and looked at as citizens as opposed to subjects.
Fawaz Gurges is the author of The Great Betrayal, The Struggle for Freedom and Democracy in the Middle East. Fawaz, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Some things are just better together. Chips and salsa, sports and friends, Breezeline Internet and mobile. Get gig internet with a free month when you order online, plus a free mobile line for a year. It's everything you need at home or on the go. Visit breezeline.com today.